The Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's officially Mania season again, which means it's tailgate time. The Mania Club tailgate party takes over the parking lots of MetLife Stadium for the fourth annual event benefiting Connor's Cure on Sunday, April 7th. This year, for the cost of just $70, your ticket price will benefit Connor's Cure and aid in the fight against pediatric cancer, and includes all-you-can-eat food, all-you-can-drink beer, soda, juice and water, a music DJ, a live interactive WrestleMania pre-show featuring the New Age Insiders, special guests, and more. There will also be several raffles, and participation in our legendary cosplay contest for your chance to win some amazing prizes is highly encouraged. Underage? No worries. The Mania Club Tailgate Party is a family-friendly event, and all the previously mentioned, minus the alcoholic beverages, are included for just $40. Tickets are available right now via links available through the Mania Club Facebook page, at Mania Club WWE on Twitter, or by visiting newageinsiders.com/tailgate. The official parking lot number will be announced very soon, so stay tuned for the final location, which will be closer to the big event than ever before. Once again, join us April 7th from 11 to 4 on Mania Sunday for the ultimate tailgate party with the Mania Club, with proceeds benefiting Connor's Cure. We'll see you there.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
So, in a event that I didn't realize what came up as fast as it did.
Will you show some respect? Bowser is approaching.
Oh.
Do you not hear this music?
Yeah. Yes.
Clearly, we are in for the final boss. We've collected at least 100 power stars.
Yeah, he's gonna kidnap Princess Peach.
No, he already did.
Again.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, well, he's going to redo it.
He's going to kidnap her at the end of the game,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
He almost had her.
Well, the thing is that you come in, you think you've rescued her.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he comes in out of nowhere and kidnaps her again.
Thoughts on a man named Bowser running Nintendo North America, something that you can't make up.
It feels right. It feels right.
Okay.
But also wrong at the same time.
I mean, it took him like 35 years, but Bowser finally took over Nintendo.
Yes.
And I enjoy that because I don't know how to make that up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to miss Reggie.
Yeah. I guess it would just be like if the Smurfs were now like run by like
Gargamel.
Alan Gargamel. You know what I mean? And like the Smurfs, and now he's in charge of the Smurfs, and you're all in a lot of trouble.
You're all in a lot of trouble.
But if you look that up, that is true. That Nintendo North America is now being run by, like, it's like literally like Doug Bowser.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah.
Is it Doug?
It's Doug.
Doug Bowser. Which just like, it sounds like a lazy attempt where it's like, all right, so like, Croatia got the rights to do like a Super Mario Brothers cartoon, and they're like naming stuff, and they're like, "He'll be Doug Bowser."
Yeah, right. Because
we don't know how to translate King Koopa.
Yeah,
so right. You know what I mean. You're Doug Bowser.
You're Doug Bowser.
Well, he's in charge now, and that guy's running the ship. So we're gonna spend about three and a half hours today on
the Doug Bowser taking over
impact,
Nintendo North America.
The impact of Bowser running, and just the idea that. I think now, if you look at their headquarters, the weird thing is that there's
a floating pirate ship.
And there's a new flagpole outside.
Yeah,
and
right.
And it's just this skull flag.
It's
but
a skull dragon flag.
If a heroic Italian plumber were to reach the very top, not only would he get
an extra life.
An extra life on this earth, but he would descend said flagpole and at least conquer that one particular part of land.
Yeah, right.
Against the Doug Bowser regime.
That's true.
I just we can like actually talk about this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I want to take.
We wanted to. I gotcha.
Oh, 2019, man.
I gotcha. 2019 is a weird ass year.
Shit's wild.
Did you see Okay, look, here's the thing. Uh-oh. We don't get super political on this show,
Uh-oh.
But I saw this, and I thought it was very funny.
Uh-oh.
So Hillary Clinton decides that she is not going to run for president.
Yay.
Right? And so we're all super excited about that. Then
go away.
Then the current president tweets out, because that's how he communicates. And
he's smashing his hand on the keyboard.
He tweets out a tweet that says, in parentheses, crooked Hillary, yay, you're not running for president, right? He said it more meh than I did.
Are you sure?
But that's
what it's meh,
yeah. Yeah, but he did that. Hillary then responds on Twitter with a meme from Mean Girls that's just the girl going, why are you so obsessed with me?
And that is where we are today, where the last two candidates for most powerful person alive are in a meme war.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
2019, everybody.
Yeah, because it's a society. We failed.
Yeah, we're over. I don't know what they had when the Roman Empire fell, but they had to have had memes of some kind. You know what I mean? Like, people were like drawn on walls, and it was like that was the Sparta.
Just like super rude, witty parchment.
Yeah, right.
Just getting floated around the town.
Yeah,
like that's a viral email.
Yeah,
just like,
right.
Oh, have you seen said scroll?
Yeah, have you seen the scroll? But that's where we're at.
I don't know how to do a Roman accent.
Have you seen the scroll? Everything's yeah. I also just like to think that the Romans were just very Italian people.
Yeah. Like I can't
just classic Italian stereotypes.
Like, I can't do an Italian accent with going like all the way to 10. Like I could do like a
do Mario.
Yeah, like a subtle Irish accent, like a subtle like you know whatever accent. But with Italian, it's just like it's a full spaghetti meatballs experience.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just like we're going to Italy. It's like here we go to Italy. I am a lover. You got me. We ride the little bike down the street. Yeah. And everybody's just like you know no one's that person.
No.
No one is that living. Puffy cartoon chef's hat come to life.
Right. No one is actually like, Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. Even Mario is just like, all right, relax.
Yeah, relax.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You're making a mockery of all of us. Wahoo. Super Mario.
Yeah.
Also a fan of Luigi. Shout out.
I really want to play Super Luigi Brothers U.
Oh, I have that game.
Yeah, it got released on the Switch, which is the far superior system, and I'm going to get it for that.
Yeah, no argument. But it's fun. What it is
it's timed.
They're short puzzles.
Yeah.
So, like, you right away start
have,
with
like,
that,
90
like,
seconds.
Right, that, like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
like a little time challenge, and it was a fun game. It was very good.
I watched the Game Grumps play it.
Oh.
And they were very fun.
I watched me play it. I liked it.
They're very fun, the Game Grumps.
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV is not only where we are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, but where you can find video game streams. And not Late Night Liam is available every Tuesday night starting at 10 o'clock. Make sure you go over to New Age Pop, where you can find For the Pops, Let the Chaos Begin, Late Night Liam, that movie show, the newest addition to the repertoire, which is Know You're Crazy, which is live the last
You're Crazy.
Yeah. Which is live the last Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. We have two episodes in the can talking about aliens, talking about assassinations, talking about society control, talking about all sorts of weird, spooky, watch it with the lights on because it might freak you out stuff, conspiracies, and a whole lot more. That's what happens with that schedule because people have been asking is it's going to be live at 8, the last Thursday of the month. Then it's going to be available on YouTube right away. It's going to be available on New Age, on NAI Pop, a week and a day later.
Yes.
And that's how it's going to work. So it'll be a podcast, not the next day, but the next Friday.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube right away.
But
it's live on Twitch.
You're a Patreon, you get it the next day.
Yeah, that sounds right. Let's do that. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsider.
So that's the deal. If you're a Patreon, you get the podcast the next day.
Love that.
If you're not a Patreon, you got to get it on Pop a week later.
Exactly. Speaking of Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, when these shows are over and Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock on Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, we jump right into the third topic of the night, which is only on Patreon. We also have Be Heard over there, which is a completely fan-driven show. You ask the questions, you shape the show, and we have a whole lot of fun together, and that's all going down on Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. And again, you need to subscribe. Whether you have Twitch Prime or not, Amazon Prime or not, the fun really goes down. Again, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, and a whole other bunch of fun content coming as well and available now. Not coming, it's already there. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We're going to jump all into the wonderful world of Fastlane, the pay-per-view definitely has to happen.
And one that I totally didn't forget that was happening this Sunday.
It feels like there was a pay-per-view yesterday. And so it's just like, oh, Fastlane Sunday. It's like, no, it can't be. WrestleMania is not until, like 5 weeks. Holy crap. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's where we are in the calendar, and these things happen like super fast, Lane. And so I'm not,
seriously, sir, get off the bus.
Yeah, welcome to WWE Fastlane, sir. You've been sleeping for the last half hour. I need to end my route. I have a family. Here?
It's Sunday.
It's here.
Potentially was going to be a disaster. Now doesn't feel like as much.
Yeah. I don't see. It's this thing. I don't like the idea of the pay-per-view existing.
Right.
But because since it has to.
Right.
They've done a nice job putting on a show I care about.
That is exactly right. If you insist on this being a show, then I'm glad that it's built the way it is built.
Sure.
Right? Because there are several things that are going to happen in this show that are going to be very important leading into WrestleMania.
The only thing that could make it better is if everyone's hero, role model, and inspiration, Tori Wilson, could be part of the live event.
You are right.
If a shining beacon of hope that is Tori Wilson, who launched 1,000 ships that is women's wrestling revolutions, then yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's a perfect show. What a hero.
That's some nonsense.
Nope. No, I was wrong.
That's some nonsense.
Yeah, she's just a...
Here's the thing.
The best one.
So here's the thing.
A real wrestler.
If you follow the New Age Insiders, there are some people that disagreed with the statement that Tori Wilson doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame ahead of other women. Right.
That there are more deserving people in front of her.
Then that is not true. Here's the thing. This is my stance on the Hall of Fame. And
I'm the only one that cares.
Right.
I know.
Well, no, because that's not 100% true. Because I believe, like, we as a community, a pro wrestling community, need to have, like, a group discussion about, like, several things. Okay. One of them being the Hall of Fame, right? We all need to agree on whether it's fake or real, right? Because that depends on how everybody gets in, right? Like, I understand that this show is a play that we're putting on.
Yeah.
So by those standards, the Hall of Fame credentials to me are very much, do I remember you?
Seems to be all it takes these days.
Which is fine, right?
Which is the baseline. I understand that.
Because, again, this is a fictional play, and the Hall of Fame is just about, like, do I remember you?
Yep.
And so that's fine. But if we are going to treat it like a sports Hall of Fame, then we have to agree that that's what we're doing.
I think that that's the frustrating thing for me, is that because, like, look, I understand that it's not a real sport. However, it's a TV show about a sport, and you're supposed to then treat the sport.
So, and this goes, because your mindset is that the WWE Hall of Fame and subsequent ceremony is an extension of the television program,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that, because this used to be the World Wrestling Federation, we used to have this type of fun. Uh-huh. Like, if, let's say, D-Generation X, like, is about to do, they're getting inducted this year, right? So D-Generation X schleps their ass out there, and then because The Rock comes up with the Nation of Domination and starts giving them a bunch of shit. And it's like, that would feel at home in the version of these characters, right? Mm-hmm. It also gives these people that aren't wrestling or relevant anymore, for a majority of them, something, like a cap off to the end of the career, which is nice.
Sure, absolutely.
The problem with someone like Tori Wilson is she's very, like, the list of people that don't belong in the Hall of Fame, right? Because it's Coco Beware, Coco.
I think he sneaks in. I think he squeaks in.
You're right. Coco Beware, Rikishi, The Godfather, right?
And even Rikishi, like, and The Godfather, like,
right.
There's but a the, case, but the I understand
point,
what you're
but
saying.
But the point is that that's the list that people point to of, like, they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Tori Wilson is now on that list too, with those three gentlemen.
Okay.
Because
The issue is that Miss Elizabeth still is not in this Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sable is not in this Hall of Fame. Victoria is not in this Hall of Fame. I don't find Molly Holly, while very important in a backstage sense, I don't think it's a crime that she's not going to get in, because I think she is going to get in.
Here's the thing.
But then China, you're sneaking her in.
Yep. And here's the thing about Molly Holly, right? Because I am under no illusion that Molly Holly was a, like, you know, despite what WWE thinks, because they all are, I understand that Molly Holly was not a superstar, right? I'm not telling you, like, it's like Molly Holly is just like, yeah, remember when she, like, you know, defined an era? I'm not stupid.
Right.
But here's the thing. The only reason I bring it up, and, like, look, I also understand it's a silly conversation at the end of the day, because you're talking about a professional wrestling Hall of Fame. You're talking about a pre-chosen, ceremony about a completely chosen, pre-chosen, like, entertainment product. I get you. I understand the whole thing is kind of wrapped up in goofiness. But if we're going to have a conversation, because quite frankly, every single conversation you, me, Bill, or anyone at home listening, and yes, I mean you, has had about pro wrestling is a little bit silly.
Oh, it is.
You know what I mean? So forgive me that we're living in a silly bubble in this whole conversation here. But the only reason that I bring up Tori Wilson specifically, you know, is to kind of like roll my eyes a little bit, is not because I didn't enjoy Tori Wilson's time, because teenage Jason Moltov enjoyed Tori Wilson's tenure substantially, right? She had a great impact on me and my adolescence, okay?
Yeah, right.
But what I'm telling you is that we're in this, like, current window of, like, let's celebrate the pioneers, the good shit, the women that got us here. And Tori Wilson
is not one of those people.
Is not even a wrestler. Yeah. Like, come on. Like, you can like her, respect her, appreciate her, and want her to have a spot in this thing eventually. But if we are, like, going to have again, I understand, a very silly conversation, because it's a wrestling Hall of Fame, but they're all silly conversations. And so, this woman who won, you know, thong contests and was not a wrestler, a zero-time women's champion. Like, I'm not even trying to be a jerk here. What are your five favorite Tori Wilson matches? The ones that really made a difference in, like, there was little girls at home that go, I got to be just like her.
Well, it's actually really sad, because it's actually, she's the opposite. She's the antithesis of what all of the current women are pointing to.
That's all I'm saying.
Because when the women sit there and go, yeah, we were divas, and we used to just do pillow fights and mud wrestling. And it's like, that's all Tori Wilson did. Now, again, I was 13 years old, and I was super into Tori Wilson.
Right, totally.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, man, your matches were revolved around hair pulling and rolling around.
And nobody needs to come at me and tell me that Tori Wilson was a bigger star than Molly Holly. Yeah, duh.
Sure.
Gotcha. Yeah. No problem. Right?
The problem isn't...
But she was a bigger star than Ivory, too.
Right.
But didn't we do Ivory last year because this is like...
We're women. Right. Well, the thing is...
Because we're celebrating this?
This year, you should have done China and DX. Right? That's what you should have done. Because that way we talk about China once and we're over it.
I'm okay with her being in with the group.
That's fine.
I'm okay because because I've resigned to, this is the only way we were going to get it.
Right.
So I'm okay with it.
The thing of would you still leave the door open? Right? Like, this is the thing that WWE has a very, very tough time doing. And that's just... The NFL also has this same problem, but it's not dealing with the issue and getting over it, and it's instead trying to avoid it, kind of, to get around it, but then it blows up more in your face. Mm-hmm. And WWE always does that, right? Yeah. And so the problem is that it's going to be, China's in with DX, and you're going to call China a Hall of Famer, right? But she didn't get in on her own.
Here's the thing, though, like, and everything you're saying is true. And what I'm just going to do is kind of play the other side, because I don't feel as strongly that way about it. And
I don't care. It's the Hall of
Fame. I know you don't. I know. but your points are valid, and a lot of people share your point of view. But my counter to that, to kind of throw a little bit of water on that fire, would be the New Age Outlaws are a Hall of Fame tag team all by themselves.
Yes.
They are like 10-time champs or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they are like, they are one of the biggest teams that company's ever pumped out. And they're getting lumped into this thing.
Yep.
And so the fact that an all-time tag team lumps in. Yeah. China lumping that way, if like, look, if so, this was Triple H's second, Shawn's second, and their second, and goddamn it, fine, X-Pac, and that's how we're doing it. That's stupid. But there's a legitimate all-time standalone tag team going in with her, and so it doesn't bother me as much.
You're absolutely right. There is two reasons why they're doing it this, or three reasons why they're doing it this way. One, so that they can call China Hall of Famer.
Yep.
So that they can induct X-Pac because, well, no, seriously, they're inducting X-Pac because on his own, no, but you lump him in with everybody he hangs out with, and sure.
Right.
And then the biggest thing that nobody's going to talk about is that you now get to stamp Triple H as a Hall of Famer while he's still active.
Yep, and without the ceremony on his own, which makes him feel like he's done.
Done, right. So now next year, at next year's WrestleMania, whoever he faces is facing WWE Hall of Famer Triple H.
Technically, it's going to be this one. The ceremony's before the show.
Technically.
He'll be a WWE Hall of Famer when he fights Batista.
Yes, yeah, so you know what I mean? And so those are the reasons why they're also doing this, because you get a lot done.
Right.
You get a lot done, and there's a lot of potential. I also am going to get the first of, or the second of a thing that I absolutely hate, and that's Shawn Michaels is now a two-time WWE Hall of Famer.
Sure is.
And leading Triple H on his first of three-time WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah, DX alone and then Evolution.
Yep. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like that's.
And then
silly.
One year when we run out of people, when we induct the McMahon-Helmsley regime,
yeah, right, right, or the Authority, and it's literally just Stephanie, Hunter, and Kane.
This year we're gonna put my hair in the Hall of Fame. Remember how great that hair was? Yeah. I mean, not like 03 when I was fat and I had that, and it was fluffy, that weird cartoon lion hair.
Right. I was the male version of a cartoon lion.
Yeah, like I wanted to be Ric Flair, but I looked like a French king named like Champlain. You know?
I don't know, like Levesque.
Yeah, right, exactly. I looked like some douchebag named like Paul Levesque. You know what I mean? Like, who would like that guy? Not a star. And that's the only thing, like, just because I understand it's a whole stupid conversation. I do.
Right.
But, like, I was told that Sable wasn't in the Hall of Fame because it's like, you're not supposed to think about Playboy and the handprints. It's like, anything you can Google about Sable, you can Google about Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
And, like,
right.
Look,
here's the thing.
And, like, I like Tori Wilson.
Sable and Tori were in the same Playboy.
And let me say this. I like Tori Wilson, so good for you.
Yeah, right.
And I don't actually care.
Right.
But, yes, do I think that, like, this would have been a great year for, like, Jazz or Victoria
or China?
Yeah.
Again, you just talk about her once.
Yeah. Speaking of that, this is 110% how they're going to get Bulldog and Owen in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is.
The Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
This is 110%. Because, like you said with X-Pac to me is a borderline standalone, stand up there on his own guy.
Yeah.
Jim, with all the respect in the world, Jim the Anvil Neidhart's not a stand up there by himself guy.
No.
Posthumously. You know what I mean? Talk about him in a posthumous way, the way we have with some guys. But the Bulldog is, but it's awkward. And Owen is, but it's awkward. And even Jim didn't die with wrestling concerns. I heard he like fell in the shower or something, just terrible and so freak
thought
accident.
He had a heart attack or something.
It could very well have been something like that. But it's not like it nearly as directly wrestling related as Bulldog and Owen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
What happened with Owen Hart?
Nothing I'm even going to make a joke about.
Yeah.
And like the idea is just like, we don't want to talk about the Bulldog and we don't want to talk about Owen. And Neidhart shouldn't be like a standalone guy. But if we throw them all together and get Brett up there to fucking say some nice things about his brother and everybody cries, you know what I mean? The Hart Foundation is definitely going to get in as that
group. It also skirts Owen's wife.
Yeah,
right,
Martha.
It skirts around Martha.
And, you know, and this isn't an opinion that everybody agrees with, but I'll say it again because I believe it, is if I'm Bret Hart, that's my brother Trump's husband, I'm okay with if I really believe that this is in the best interest of my brother's legacy, then with all the love and respect in the world, Martha, you've had 20 years to move past this. If you can't and you haven't, I'm so sorry, but him never getting in the Hall of Fame isn't going to bring him back.
Yeah.
And there's something that if his family, the Harts, you know what I mean, feel that this is the right thing, at some point, in my opinion, if I'm Vince McMahon, I just do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if there's nothing she can do, and I don't know the answer to this.
Legally.
If she can't legally stop me, I'm so sorry that you can't get past this.
This is another one of those terrible issues where it's like, I wish Owen Hart... Okay, this is going to sound terrible, and I'm sorry. But, I wish we could induct the character of the Blue Blazer, but not talk about Owen Hart. You know what I mean? Like one of those type of deals where it's like, yeah, you don't get a choice because the character's getting into this Hall of Fame.
Right.
He was played by your husband. But...
And like I said, if I'm Vince McMahon, it's just like, look, his immediate blood family is okay with this. You've had 20 years. What do I need to do? Do you want to be part of the ceremony? Whatever you need. Yeah. Do you want to be part of this? Do you not want to be part of this?
I'd send Dana Warrior after her.
You know what, though? Like, maybe. You know what I mean? Because the woman can sit down and be like, you know.
I wasn't
psyched with wrestling either, but.
But I did it. You know what I mean?
Right. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. So.
And there's something about the idea that, like, look, and Dana Warrior can't be like, look, you know, your husband can't be alive for this, which is just the worst. But there was a great sense of finality and closure. And, like, don't you want a night where just everybody celebrates him?
Yeah, right.
Because that's what the Warrior got. Yeah. The night alive and dead. You know what I mean? And so it's just. But, yeah, again. Tori Wilson, all the congratulations in the world. Fantastic. The fact that you leapfrogged actual wrestlers is stupid to me. There, I said it.
Or leapfrogged Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, sure. And it's just like, and it's just like, you're not a wrestler.
Because Miss Elizabeth, Stacy Keibler, and Tori Wilson, while very different in each one of their own respective rights, are representative of the same thing. The wrestling eye candy that I'm here to look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Miss Elizabeth is the classiest of the three, but, you know, that's what they are, and they do belong in this Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Miss Elizabeth is probably the number one of the, like, why the hell isn't this woman in here?
Yeah.
She
OD'd at Lex Luger's house.
Yeah.
And they don't want you to think about her dying or Lex Luger at all.
Yeah.
Right. So
I just love Lex Luger and how he just looks like a deflated grandma.
He looks like his own aunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he looks like his own like cool older aunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Alexa Luger. You know what I mean?
Alexa Luger.
Because like, yeah, he, I don't know, that's what happens when you don't take steroids anymore and your body's like, what happened? We used to be like 310 pounds.
And we used to be massive. Yeah. And it happens so rapidly.
Yeah, and now I have difficulty tying my shoes.
Yeah.
Right. I'm Randy the Ram.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's who he is. Anyway, Fastlane.
Oh, yeah.
What a show.
The good thing about Fastlane.
What a necessary show.
Yeah, but the good thing about this Fastlane is that there's a lot of stuff that's happening that is going to impact WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it is going to be worth watching.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's stuff with the Usos and The Miz and Shane.
And Becky Lynch.
And then Becky Lynch is one of the bigger points. Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan is going to be very important going forward.
Just a fun little footnote, because I tweeted this out and a lot of people seem to agree with me, which is nice and rare. What do you think about the idea that the biggest bad guy in the history of pro wrestling handpicked somebody to replace a popular guy to become the good guy in a story where the bad guy loves the planet?
It's so weird.
Why is Kevin Owens the good guy? Why would Vince McMahon go, screw you, Kofi, here's Kev, and then be like, and you're supposed to like him?
See, so the idea, at least this is my interpretation of the storyline as it's going so far, and this is giving WWE a ton of credit.
Oh, then you're already wrong.
Yeah. So the point is that the entire story as it pertains to the Kofi end of things is that Kofi Kingston is the person that everybody wants. So Vince McMahon as the bad guy and the person that we all on the internet perceive him to be is going to replace Kofi Kingston with Kevin Owens. And the logic behind that is I'm bad guy and I don't get you, Vince McMahon, and I'm replacing you. And so he's trying to generate the Roman Reigns effect, if that makes sense, where Kevin Owens is the good guy, but he wants everybody to boo Kevin Owens because he's now the hand-picked one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just on SmackDown this week. It was heel and baby 101.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Bryan being like, Kevin, you're just like these stupid people. And Kevin Owens being like, hey, if you think these people are stupid, then I guess I'm stupid with them. And it's just like, wow, this is just 101 heel babyface stuff where Daniel Bryan's like, screw you, crowd. And Kevin Owens is like, no, crowd rules. And right. So like, oh, you're definitely like, and because you're right. The idea here, I think, big picture, and that's why I'm not like stamping my feet over. I just kind of think it's a funny observation.
Oh, no, it is. It's an absolutely funny observation.
I really do think that Kofi Kingston's going to win the championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
I
that's what we said.
I really do.
The New Day on SmackDown said that they were going to be at Fastlane, but don't have a match.
Right. Yeah. Like, I have to believe that WWE would never be so on the nose in a self-aware meta kind of way where they're like,
right,
what would piss them off? Let's get them super high up on Kofi and then just take him out. That would ruin their Mania season, right? Like, they don't, like, as much as we joke around, like, they don't actually hate you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, the only way that this, to me, has some sort of conclusion is at the very, very least that Kofi's in the match at WrestleMania. And again, that's why I'm not like, how dumb is this? It's just funny to me that Vince McMahon is the biggest bad guy ever. Kevin Owens comes in, is his hand-picked guy, replaces a super popular dude, and now not only is he the good guy, but the reason that Daniel Bryan's the bad guy is because he's like, take care of the planet. And everybody's like, fuck you, Daniel!
Yeah,
you
know, right. You know, no, what no, I you're mean? Absolutely
it's
right.
Like, that's the,
I also think that Vince McMahon plays a huge role in Kevin Owens' WrestleMania story.
Okay.
So I think that Vince McMahon has something to do.
Is that why he's doing the stunner?
That's maybe why he's doing the stunner.
Take on Vince McMahon?
I don't know if he's... Maybe. We never got a conclusion to him kicking the crap out of Vince McMahon.
Headbutt heard around the world?
Right.
Doing the stunner now?
Right.
Oh, I like it.
You know what I mean? But that might...
KO!
Because I assume that Rowan costs Kevin Owens the match.
Okay.
Right? Like, because... That has to be the no harm, no foul situation. The weirdest thing is going to be, when this is all said and done, that nobody's talking about, is that when we actually crown the WWE, first black WWE championship, he's going to be holding a vanity championship.
He's
going
to be a guy that used to be Jamaican holding a belt made out of hemp.
I know, which is hilarious.
Which I like it.
The irony is hilarious. but like you know what I mean? Like, we're going to have, like, that. On Tuesday, he's going to, like, bring back the leather-bound WWE championship, but when he wins the belt, it will be the hemp and woodcrafted.
Somebody tweeted us, and I love this, and I'm not telling you it's going to happen, and I would have unfortunately tell you that it won't, but somebody tweeted us, and they just go, how about this? Owens just wins at Fastlane so Kofi can beat him at WrestleMania and hold up the real belt. And it's like, great, let's do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to, but yeah, if you're like, how would you draw this up? Yep. I would have Owens just, like, shockingly win and then have him be the bad guy he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then have Kofi Kingston go like, hey, you took what was mine. This is, you are standing in my moment and I want it. And then, yeah, he wins at WrestleMania and holds up a real championship.
Right.
And I like the hemp belt.
Oh, it's perfect for Daniel Bryan and everything he's doing.
In honor of Tommaso Ciampa, let's call it Mary Jane.
Okay.
It's called the championship Mary Jane.
Yeah.
Ciampa has Goldie.
Yep.
And Daniel Bryan has Mary Jane. And I like that title. Like, I like Mary Jane. But yeah, if he's going to win at WrestleMania, those pictures are going to look stupid.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you want to talk about CM Punk holding up the wrong belt.
Or
you
The
know?
Rock.
You know?
The last WWE championship that, like, The Rock, like, won was the spinner.
Yeah, and then he debuted, like, the worst version of the one we have now.
Yeah.
What if we cram the logo into this, like, you know, like, little box and made champion too big?
But it's also going to be, like, slightly off-skewed because that's the logo.
Yeah, just hideous. And we're going to have it be over the shoulder of guys, and the other shoulder's going to have the prettiest belt anyone ever made.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to talk about anything, that belt was already a 4, and it's going to look like a 1 next to this hot chick. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what's going
on. So we should probably get to the card, right, Bill?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, look, there's a sign.
How many minutes, Bill?
Way to point off this.
We're doing this wrong.
Point out the sign that's not supposed to be pointed out.
Magic of television.
Oh, man.
We're on SNL right now being like, what does that cue card say?
What? We've been doing this show for 32 minutes and have talked about everything but Fastlane?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think
cool.
I don't think Tori Wilson's going to win on Sunday.
Hey, did you hear Idris Elba?
That's later.
Fastlane.
Fastlane. Hit us with the card bell.
Yeah.
Who wins? The fans.
Do they, though?
Retweet that.
All right. The pre-show match for Fastlane is Andrade taking on Rey Mysterio.
I wish he was CN.
Shout out to Charlotte Flair for breaking the news that they're together through the New Age Insiders. shout out to Charlotte Flair in general. You're awesome.
Can we play the dating game with them?
Slow news day.
Yeah, absolutely we can. Yeah, I know. Charlotte Flair, awesome person. Yeah, what is it? Who's he fighting?
Andrade and Rey Mysterio.
Let's go Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio.
I would prefer Andrade win because eventually people need to realize that although he doesn't look, act, or sound it, Rey Mysterio is in his 40s.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? We got to move on eventually.
Yeah.
But Rey will probably win to get the crowd into it early.
Probably.
All right, let's touch on the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. We have the Usos defending against The Miz and Shane McMahon.
Yeah, The Miz and Shane McMahon definitely lose this to figure out what the hell they're doing at WrestleMania, right?
I've assumed since they're pairing that they were going to wind up splitting and fighting at WrestleMania, them being Shane McMahon and The Miz. And yeah. So, yeah, we got to start that eventually. This is the last pay-per-view before we got to make those things official. The Usos are awesome. There's no good reason for The Miz and Shane McMahon to win these titles, which is why they probably will. There's just like, to me, again, we got to start, there's got to be some sort of tension. There's got to be some sort of like, oh, they almost had it and somebody messes it up so they can be blamed kind of thing. Look for that to probably be The Miz or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason why we've brought The Miz's dumbass dad in for the video packages of their future match or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
And so the Usos will and should retain. This is easy.
Yeah. We'll fly right through it. Right down the fast lane.
off the bus.
Can we at least go in the carpool lane? There's three
of us. Yeah, the HOV lane. Yeah, sir, Jay-Z's here.
You're making me uncomfortable. Wah!
Mario. The Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line in a triple threat match. The champions, Revival, are defending against Chad Gable, Bobby Roode, and the thrown together tag team of Aleister Black and Ricochet.
I mean, I would rather just keep it on the Revival because they're a real team. But the real answer is just not Gable and Roode.
Yeah. Yeah. Chad Gable and Bobby Roode are the same person because to me, it's like, I do like you and do think you are talented and do think you should be doing something. But I, much like the back, have no goddamn clue what that should be.
Right.
And I think it's almost too late to really care.
Yeah.
The shame of it being is that Gable's probably like 15 years younger than Bobby Roode.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, I just like WWE's answer of it's almost a shame. Like, it's this weird shame, but it's almost a shame that the bar are so good.
Yeah,
because it's like this, like, ha, see? We can just throw people together and have it work. You know what I mean? Because there's no actual good reason why Chad Gable and Bobby Roode should be hanging out. Like,
no.
At least that Cesaro and Sheamus are 2 6'3" European.
Yeah, well, they also built the storyline where it's just like, you two are just going to fight with each other for forever.
It was a 7-match series.
Right, yeah. And then we're going to throw you in as a tag team even though you hate each other, and you know each other so well at this point that you won.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I guess we can be friends.
Right.
And it's like, at least that worked. This was like, Chad Gable just showed up one day and was like,
in a robe.
It was like, Bobby Roode, I'm going to be your tag team partner. Right. Look, I got a robe too.
Right, and that's Gable's whole life where it's just like, hey, we're sorry that Jason Jordan moved on, but we know you love having black tag team partners, so Shelton Benjamin. It's like, so the only reason they're together is because I've been with a black tag team guy in the past.
Yeah.
That's not a story. I'm with
they
Bobby.
They both have amateur backgrounds and the amateur wrestling backgrounds.
Right. I'm both with, right. But one of them was popular when I was 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've never met on screen. And now we're just a tag team.
Right.
And, you know, the justification is that he looks like the last guy I had.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, that's it.
Yeah, so you're right.
That's it. That's the only actual goddamn reason.
Yeah,
you know, what I mean? Where it's
I
just
know.
Like, heard you like, hey, Gable. Heard
hey,
you.
Look, that actor quit, so we replaced him.
Right, exactly. It's like a, it's honestly, it's like a,
it's
that,
Aunt Viv.
Right, it's like that exhibit meme where it's like, yo, dog, I heard you like black tag team partners. You know what I mean? And so,
I got you the gold standard.
Right, exactly. And so you're right. This is definitely like where they're like, yeah, you know how we like had to recast Aunt Viv or you know, the War Machine or, you know, ironically War Machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or like Harriet in the last season of Family Matters, and you are not Harriet Winslow, madam.
Sure.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, you have Shelton Benjamin. And now they're just like, yeah, you're not doing anything, and like, you could get a robe, right? You like robes? You know what I mean? You guys can hang out. And it's like, why? We don't look alike. You know what I mean? We have this weird father-son appeal.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
You know what I mean? And so with Gable and Roode, it's just like, yeah, Bobby Roode, you're definitely talented, but what you should have done was kept that it factor guy character that I thought you were going to roll with throughout NXT,
right,
that you've dropped to be, quote, some guy, Bobby Roode, which is all you are. Whoever wrote your entrance theme, you need to give them $100,000. And and then Gable's just here. And so it's like...
And then Aleister Black and Ricochet aren't a tag team.
Yeah.
But, they're probably going to win because...
Here's the thing. Are you surprised that Ricochet is feeling like he's almost up?
Yeah, well, he should be.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Look, I don't need you to win. I don't need everybody to win the NXT title.
See, it's not about that to me. It's the idea that, like, I hate this that, like, okay, Aleister Black is the former NXT champion and, like, a franchise quarterback guy, like a tentpole guy. And, like, look, did I think he was going to be as big a deal on the main roster? Unfortunately, I never did. But now he's just in a tag team.
Well, I don't think that this is going to last.
Right. But, like, your first and early impressions matter. And, like, I know this is an extreme example, but bear with me. Kevin Owens pinned John Cena in his debut, right?
Yeah, right.
Setting a certain bar. Aleister Black is in a tag team with Ricochet for some reason.
Right.
It's just a first impression thing. And so, like, look, not everybody is going to pin John Cena in their debut. I understand.
Yeah, but
they don't have anything for them right now.
Right, but winning the tag team titles and carrying that post-WrestleMania season is pretty good.
I wish that they, just to be honest, I wish that at least Ricochet had got this WrestleMania season takeover.
Yeah.
Black, I think, was ready to go.
Well, Ricochet might still very well
he could.
Wrestle at NXT TakeOver.
He could. Especially with Ciampa out. They're going to have to fluff that show up a little bit.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Revival retain. But,
I think
but
so, too.
Wouldn't be at all surprised if Black
I think Gable and Roode are here to take the fall from the Revival without having Black and Ricochet win.
Yeah.
Lose.
And look incredible.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's go with that.
All right. The women's tag team championships are on the line. And
we never, predicted this.
Yeah,
a defense of these tag titles.
So Bayley and Sasha Banks, the champions, are defending against Nia and Tamina.
I think that the Boston Hug Connection retain just because it's too early to take those titles off of them.
Yeah. They're from the Super Smash Brothers. So here's the thing.
I know.
Haha, Callie. Sasha Banks has never, not one time, defended a main roster championship successfully. So the odds are against them.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so right.
You know what I mean?
You're so right.
Because
I forgot about that.
Because here's this girl with the definition of the playoff yips, right?
And then
these two dudes come running down, you know what I mean? Like, here to take over the world. And it's like, all right. So, like, your first successful title defense ever has to be against 800 pounds of trouble. You know what I mean? And it's like,
you're right.
Now, with that being said, I do think they are going to.
Yeah.
But
Bayley's going to carry the whole team.
And I must admit, the idea that if we look back in 10 years and go, look at that, Sasha Banks never defended the title, not one time, not any title, not one time. What a hilarious gimmick.
She won a bunch, but kept losing.
Like, you want to talk about, like, proving our point that, like, they're definitely going to use her, but there's, like, something they got against her?
Yeah.
That would be it. Where it's like, yeah, you're going to win a bunch of titles. You're going to defend none of them.
You never win.
Secretly hate you. And your whole career will be a tease. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's... I think they're going to retain, and I think Sasha Banks one day will retain a women's title and all that stuff. But it's a hilarious gimmick to me.
Yeah.
And it is funny that, like, it really is like, hey, David Price, you had never won a playoff game before. Here come the 1927 Yankees.
You know what I mean?
What are you going to do about that? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, all right, you know, those are, here come, yeah, right, here comes like Thud. You know what I mean?
Right.
That should be their tag team name is Thud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, jeez.
And
I do think the Boston Hug Connection are going to win.
They're going to beat Thud.
Yeah, they're going to beat Thud.
Good, me too.
Yeah. Thunder from Samoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Thud.
All right, the Shield has reunited once again for the third time.
This is the last time, Bill. They had one more chance to do this right.
We'll see. Just like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's be reffed by Owens and Zayn.
So the Shield reunites against Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley, with nothing on the line, no reason, just for the hell of it. Filled the card at Fastlane.
I'm going to say that the Shield, with the guy coming back from cancer, are definitely going to lose to three assholes hanging out for no good reason.
And Baron Corbin's going to pin Roman Reigns.
Definitely. Yep. That's it.
That's what it is.
He's going to take off his maitre d' jacket and know he means business. Your own big trouble.
You know what I think's going to happen? Is I think that the Shield are going to win. Obviously.
I don't know.
But then out of the crowd,
whoa,
because they're not doing anything WrestleMania weekend,
uh-oh,
the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega attack the Shield.
Yep. Yeah, I do. I agree with you. I think this whole thing with Cody's like, oh, I can't wrestle or walk for months is just,
oh no, well,
he got us. He got us.
No, I said Kenny and the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Not Cody and the Bucks.
Oh, that would be stupid and crazy. And yeah, you're right. That would be dumb. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Because that's definitely what we're building towards.
Yep. And then Vince McMahon comes out and goes, who do you think sold them the W? Me. You know what I mean?
Sold them the W.
You know what I mean?
I had an extra E.
I'm going to kill it.
Yeah, right.
I hate the internet so goddamn much.
What? That would be the bit. Like, remember how stupid the higher power was when we revealed that it was us, when it was McMahon?
Yeah, they haven't been making bad decisions recently.
Yeah, you know right. What I mean? But how fucking funny would it be if that was all this was a fucking reveal of the higher power being Vince McMahon, where he's like, I actually own All Elite.
Yeah, and it's canceled. There is no Las Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, what? What did Vince do? You know what I mean? I just imagine like wealthy people have that kind of power.
Right.
It's gone. I killed.
Yeah.
I killed.
No. At a point. More Vegas.
That's incredible. It's like I bought it. I bought it all. Is this the Vince McMahon echo?
Yes.
I love that.
We got an echo.
Kill every palm tree and neon flamingo in that goddamn town, pal. I am Sports Center Wrestletainment.
Oh, Christ.
That would be
Sports Center Wrestletainment.
Yeah, that is, I definitely think, what is going to happen now more than ever before is that the Shield are going to win and then the Bucks are going to jump in the crowd.
And that's what they're doing. That's WrestleMania.
That's definitely.
Like,
not even right? Probably.
Because I can't even
that's
think.
That's definitely it.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Makes sense.
I mean,
it's either that or Baron Corbin wins.
Yeah, right, which is just foolish. Baron Corbin could, yeah. No, there is a better shot.
of the Bucks showing up than Baron Corbin winning? Yeah, probably.
Yep, and Vince McMahon's like, just like, stop complimenting Hunter. Look, I can sign, guys. Look, right? What did you want? What did you want, the deers? I got them. I got both of them. I got both deers. Here you go.
And I got a one-winged angel.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Right, yeah. There you go. You want Kenny Endgame or whatever the goddamn hell his Thanos stupid name is, you nerds? Here you go.
Look, he's good. I only signed him to be on up, up, down, down. he's never gonna wrestle.
I just like doing Vince McMahon like this. That's gonna be it forever.
This is what happens when we get Patreon money. We get to buy a new mixer that has fun sound effects.
That really would be Vince McMahon in 2019 in a nutshell. Whereas in an effort to appease fans,
sign Kenny Omega, but only let him be on up, up, down,
see,
down.
No, Vince McMahon would purchase the Milwaukee Bucks, thinking he was doing what fans have wanted. He's like, Vince McMahon's not
Giannis Uncon. Gatumbo.
Yeah, he's like, why do you want me to buy the goddamn Milwaukee Bucks so bad? I'm trying to start the XFL. Why do you want the Milwaukee
Bucks? Why do you
Bucks?
Want the Greek Freak?
Why do you want the Bucks so goddamn bad, pal? Right.
Fine.
Eric Bledsoe isn't that good at suplexes.
Fine.
And then they would have a Dusty tag team basketball challenge because I don't think Vince McMahon actually knows what Dusty Rhodes' career was like.
Vince McMahon's like, Dusty Rhodes was in tag team basketball matches.
It's like, not once. Not one time. But a weird theme for a tournament.
So the Shield?
No.
All right, what's next, Bill?
The Bucks thing.
Asuka is defending her women's championship, SmackDown Women's Championship, against Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose is going to win.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
The WrestleMania SmackDown match is Mandy Rose versus, what's her name? The dancing lady.
The dancing lady?
Yeah.
Naomi?
Naomi. Naomi versus Mandy Rose.
What, really?
For the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Even though Mandy Rose beat her in like 45 seconds last night?
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ready to beat Asuka. I don't think... you think Asuka's going to start losing and losing to Mandy Rose's?
She's going to lose to Mandy Rose.
Oh.
And then Mandy Rose is going to face Naomi at WrestleMania for the women's title. Because we've been doing the biggest women's SmackDown storyline that doesn't involve Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair has been Mandy Rose trying to seduce Naomi's husband.
I'm going to say that Asuka retains, and the big twist is that Mandy Rose hasn't been wearing a towel at all this whole time. It's been Asuka wrapped around her because she's an evil witch clown. And Asuka's going to find a way to retain based on her ability to
be a clown.
To be
a clown towel.
A clown towel. A clowl.
A clowl.
Clowl. You clown towel. That's in. Right? Like Mandy Rose, like, reveal, like, drops a towel, and it's just Asuka being like, I'm always watching you.
Yeah.
It's just like, What kind of Japanese have to get this out of the back of some guy's truck movie did you come from?
So true.
You know what I mean?
So true.
And Asuka, I'm going to say Asuka wins. Just because all your points are valid. I've just like never thought about Mandy Rose beating Asuka,
and that's what's happening.
Because she's blonde.
Yeah, right.
I love blonde women. Right. I bought the Milwaukee Bucks, and now you're gonna get my blonde lady 50-50. I don't know how to log on to my Twitter. I don't know what you actually want.
Yeah, I just like to think that that's what happens when you walk into Vince McMahon's office. It's like, where's this goddamn echo coming from? I'm in the same room. You know what I mean? How come my voice doesn't do that?
I paid for it.
I'm just the head from the Wizard of Oz.
I'm Zordon.
Yeah, but like evil.
Yeah. So I'm Zord off.
All right, what's the next one, Bill? We only got like one left, right?
There's two more. We got the WWE Championship is on the line, and Daniel Bryan is defending against Kevin Owens.
Yeah, defended Mary Jane.
Yeah, defended Mary Jane. Look, here's the thing. Daniel Bryan's going to retain this because this, as much as I want it to be about Kevin Owens, it's not about Kevin Owens.
Yep.
And I do think, first of all, that whoever decided to be like Kevin Owens, go start giving the stunner to people. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Me too.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Love it. Keep going.
Stone Cold Steve Austin retired 16 years ago.
He hasn't been a part of this programming consistently since like 14 years
ago. Vince McMahon would like you to think he never existed at all.
Right. So give it to Kevin Owens. Yeah. Kevin Owens just starts stunning people. It'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. Like, people have been like doing the figure four.
Yeah, right.
For Richard Fleer in one of the more uncomfortable segments in Raw history. I did not like that.
Oh, you didn't like that?
Nope.
Oh, well, I kind of dug it.
No. I'm still enough of a nerd to be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, right. It's weird.
Like, Richard Fleer and like, what are we doing?
Yeah, right.
We've never, and he's been wrestling for 70 years.
And nobody's called him that.
And we've never pulled that one out. And we're doing it for Triple H versus Batista, which people are already into.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
Yeah, all right. So there we go.
Daniel Bryan will wind up the champion here. But I love the idea of Owens just winning and then Kofi Kingston winning a real belt at WrestleMania.
Yeah, right.
I would like that.
All right. And the final match on the card is Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch. And if Becky Lynch wins, she's added back into the Raw Women's Championship match at WrestleMania.
Look,
and Charlotte definitely wins, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a big FU.
Right.
But this is why this pay-per-view is, if you're going to insist that this be a thing, right? Fastlane, please, sir, this is the end of the line. You need to get off the bus. I'm calling the cops. I have to go home.
Is that urine?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that urine?
WWE Fastlane, is that urine?
But if we're going to insist on doing this, this is the type of these are the type of matches that I want. I want Kofi Kingston to somehow set himself up in contention to be the next challenger for the title, and I want Becky Lynch to win the match to get inserted into it.
Yep, absolutely. The thing about this pay-per-view is it either feels like it's completely and totally in the way. Like, remember that time that Triple H was the champion?
And fought Dean Ambrose for no reason?
Right, and everybody was just like, well, I would prefer this, you know what I mean? And we weren't going to do it, and so it was this weird roadblock, you know what I mean? You know,
kind Fastlane of roadblock.
Right, and so it's like, or, like you said, it can be used to just sort of be like, this is the last pay-per-view level kind of nudge we can give these stories you know, to propel the momentum through TV for the next month or so. And so, yeah, I mean, this is Becky Lynch will definitely win. Becky Lynch, I've said this before, and I'm not I don't think I'm some sort of savant, but Becky Lynch is going to win the final match of WrestleMania 35. It's going to go on last, and she's going to win. It doesn't matter to me what Roman Reigns does, what Brock Lesnar does, what John Cena does, what The Undertaker does. Becky Lynch is going to go on last, and she's going to win.
Right.
And so this is a great way to begin the process because in a very cool way, you want to talk about equality, this is it. In a very, very cool way, she is part of their biggest priority storyline going into WrestleMania.
Right.
And so what happens with these guys is, like, this reminds me a lot of the 1999 St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Stone Cold Steve Austin was supposed to win win the 1999 Royal Rumble.
Right.
And Vince McMahon does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so Vince McMahon goes, ha-ha, no one's fighting The Rock for the title of WrestleMania because I'm the number one contender and I'm not.
Right.
Right? And so the purpose of the 1999 St. Valentine's Day Massacre was to get Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event of WrestleMania to really kick off the whole season, even more. And so how did we do that? We locked him in a cage. We introduced the Giant. That was his WWF debut. You know what I mean? The Big Show. That was his WWF debut. And the end of the day, though, we got Stone Cold Steve Austin into the main event of WrestleMania, so the next month of TV is built around that. To me, Becky Lynch, like, you know, I know she did win the Royal Rumble.
Right.
But then, you know, it got kind of taken away from her.
Right.
And so at this pay-per-view, it's just like, yeah, not only am I going to go to WrestleMania, but I'm going to set the tone for the next month of TV.
Right.
That's how I see this planning out. And, you know, good honor because people are invested in this. And go Becky Lynch because people care. And that's awesome because it's not forced. This is a real storyline people are really invested in. Yeah. And that's what real equality is.
Yeah, right. And it also just gives you something, you know, real to watch. For on this
right and with and I think the match is going to be good, and after Fastlane is when we should really start judging it. However, I don't have incredibly high hopes for the Brock Lesnar Seth Rollins program.
No, not at all.
The match will be good.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's I'm going to say 50, no higher than that, but that's still a pretty big number. I think there's a 50% chance it's Brock Lesnar's last wrestling match.
Yeah, okay.
Right, I'm not going to go any higher than 50, but that to me is very much on the table, and I do believe in Lesnar, the performer, enough to be like, in his head, if he goes, this might be it, guy's going to give it all. I really believe that.
Yeah.
I also think
it depends on if they're booing or not.
Yeah. It also depends on... 2004 was a long time ago, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That was like 27-year-old kid that was, who was...
Yeah, but that was also the last... Like, that was also the last time he was done.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. You are definitely right. It's just, that was also a 27-year-old kid who... I think his head was just in a different place. But it's still in him to be like, fuck it. You know what I mean? I get you. But to his credit, he didn't walk out on them. But anyway, I think that Rollins versus Lesnar will be very good. Right?
Yeah,
the match.
Yeah.
But not the program.
Yeah, the and program's going to blow.
So the program is Lynch, Rousey,
well,
and Charlotte.
Especially if you're now tying Seth back into this Shield nonsense.
We're not going to talk about that tonight. I just can't be bothered with it. Like, my hope on silver lining this is that these dudes fight on Sunday and it somehow lays the groundwork for Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania while Seth Rollins fights Brock Lesnar, and then we'll tackle the inevitable
whatever
right that comes after it. That's my silver lining, and that's not bad.
Right. I also just would love for them to, like, while the New Day just seem to have all of their shit and best friendship together, the Shield don't, and I would much rather them take the New Day approach, where it's like, look, we sorted our stuff out, we're all good, and then we're just going to be this way.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to hate each other anymore. Yeah. And we don't need to.
Yeah, until we have to, because that's the only programming we know is what if we break up and reunite the Shield. It's just keep playing the hits. They are the Eagles now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, just play the stuff I like. I don't, you know what I mean? That's it. Yeah, right. I don't, that's all I know. So Becky Lynch will win, and she should.
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we talk about a lot more than just pro wrestling around here, and we are going to be talking all about hot cross buns.
Yes.
What are hot cross buns?
Can we play it on a recorder?
Are they even worth the song? Why is it the same melody as Three Blind Mice? You ever notice that?
Yeah, I do now.
It's the same melody as Three Blind Mice. Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah.
And a whole lot more. What are we actually talking about?
What about cold cross buns?
Oh, I think the cold cross buns are, it was the Undertaker's original finisher name.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's cold.
There is a major shakeup. There is a major shakeup in the DC Cinematic Universe happening. Who will be the next Batman and who will be replacing Will Smith?
You see, because he crosses your arms. So it's cold cross bunions. He's dead.
Yeah, cold cross bunions.
Oh, cold cross.
When you get crucified, your buns are on a cold cross.
Cold cross duns.
Ooh. Very fun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about all the recasting and shakeup and fun stuff and a whole lot more. The New Age Insiders will be right back.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
The Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's officially Mania season again, which means it's tailgate time. The Mania Club tailgate party takes over the parking lots of MetLife Stadium for the fourth annual event benefiting Connor's Cure on Sunday, April 7th. This year, for the cost of just $70, your ticket price will benefit Connor's Cure and aid in the fight against pediatric cancer, and includes all-you-can-eat food, all-you-can-drink beer, soda, juice, and water, a music DJ, a live interactive WrestleMania pre-show featuring the New Age Insiders, special guests, and more. There will also be several raffles, and participation in our legendary cosplay contest for your chance to win some amazing prizes is highly encouraged. Underage? No worries. The Mania Club Tailgate Party is a family-friendly event, and all the previously mentioned, minus the alcoholic beverages, are included for just $40. Tickets are available right now via links available through the Mania Club Facebook page, at Mania Club WWE on Twitter, or by visiting newageinsiders.com/tailgate. The official parking lot number will be announced very soon, so stay tuned for the final location, which will be closer to the big event than ever before. Once again, join us April 7th from 11 to 4 on Mania Sunday for the ultimate tailgate party with the Mania Club, with proceeds benefiting Connor's Cure. We'll see you there.
It's almost that day.
It is.
I'm Irish.
Oh, here in Boston, St. Patrick's Day is a huge deal.
Absolutely, as it should be. And nobody's got you covered quite like an actual, you know,
Irish pub.
Right, exactly. And our favorite one is Dungarron's.
Yep. Hell yeah.
Yes, it is.
I am super excited. I hear that they have a particular kind of beer available.
Yes.
Because if you're an Irish person and you don't drink at least one Guinness,
yeah,
you've done the whole thing wrong.
It's well, the really cool thing about Dungarron's and St. Patrick's Day this month is that Dungarron's is usually closed on Sundays.
Yep.
But because it is such a big Irish deal, they're opening. And they're getting
it sounds
live.
Like you're trying not to swear.
Right.
Such a big Irish deal.
Yeah, such a big Irish deal. Basically, they're going to have a live music. and traditional Irish food,
awesome.
Which basically just means corned beef and cabbage.
Yep. My favorite.
But, which is also just a reason to go. But the ambiance at Dungarens is always awesome. When live music, St. Patrick's Day, Guinness flowing, and a good time to be had, there's really no reason you shouldn't check it out. Where can people go ahead and go and find that? It's on Elliott
Street. It's 344 Elliott Street in Newton, Massachusetts.
There you go. Check out Dungarens. It is completely New Age Insiders approved. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
You don't own me.
Ooh, this
is fun.
It's real music.
Yeah. So before we get into all the DC Extended Universe nonsense, shout out to Matt Grice 07. He's subscribed via Twitch Prime on Twitch.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
And Matt's awesome. We've been talking to Matt for a long time online, so it's awesome. And if you have Amazon Prime, if you got it for Christmas, if it's just something you have because it's an awesome service, you have Twitch Prime. It is free. It costs you nothing. We are now, what is it, a partner level with Twitch?
Affiliate.
There you go. So now these shows that are live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, we have commercials because we've hit that level because you guys have been awesome and, you know, joined along and watched these streams and stuff. So if you want to watch our show commercial free, you can subscribe. If you don't even have Amazon Prime, you can still subscribe, which is awesome. It supports the show. It gives you a commercial-free experience. And again, if you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe for free, and you take money right out of Jeff Bezos's pocket and give him the ability to stop buying, like, lava layers, right? And you give it to the New Age Insiders who are not billionaires.
Right.
And it's just a better system.
Right. Or you can just sign up, like, naturally. You can just, like, pay for it.
Exactly. You can subscribe just the old-fashioned way, and you'll be super happy you did, because between Late Night Liam streaming live on Tuesdays, we're going to, by the next month or so, by WrestleMania kickoff, we're going to be streaming every single Thursday. We'll be streaming, because of Late Night Liam, every single Tuesday, and we hope you know by now that we're streaming every single Wednesday, live on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Tons of reasons to subscribe, with a whole lot more coming. And again, if you have Twitch, if you have Amazon Prime, you can do it free. If not, just subscribe. It's awesome. And the biggest thing you can do to support the New Age Insiders and have even more fun is to join us on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. There's 5 exclusive shows a month. We talk to you guys every single day. There's, you know, inside info. We've been able to keep people abreast of the Tommaso Ciampa situation since it happened. So way before the sheets got it this morning and we're talking about Ciampa and his neck, the Patreons knew all about it. And that's the kind of rewards you guys can get by going to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, and we hugely appreciate it. And again, big shout out to
or who Charlotte's dating.
And we knew that. We knew that before anybody else too. Like, literally, thank you, Charlotte Flair. We knew that about before anybody else. And it's a great experience. And shout out to guys like Balor Club guy that we know are going to be going out, Danny and Dylan.
Right.
I think Jedi's going. I think Justin's going to be going to Chaos for a Cause, our first live wrestling show featuring some of the biggest stars up and down the East Coast. Yeah. And Tommy Dreamer, the innovator of violence and an ECW legend, is going to be joining us for our first show.
Yeah, he's going to beat people with a trash can for a cause.
I believe that to be true. I actually could probably tell you exactly how it's going to go. It's going to be incredible. Chaotic Wrestling and the New Age Insiders present Chaos for a Cause. All the proceeds, or a big giant chunk of what we're trying to do, we're trying to make a big giant donation here to Connor's Cure. And you guys can help by going to newageinsiders.com. Bill's done a great job. You can get Chaos for a Cause tickets, which is our live wrestling show with Chaotic Wrestling on the 6th. And of course, the biggest party of the weekend, April 7th, is the Mania Tailgate, where Mania Club Tailgate. Huge shout out to Gary and Ashante. They've already hit their 10,000 $1,000 goal.
I know, that's so impressive.
Before we went to New York. And so the New Age Insiders are super proud to be a small part of the very hard 12-month-a-year work that Gary and Ashante put into this every single year. They care about this cause. They care about this show. They care about the weekend being the most it can be for all the fans that attend. And we can't put it over enough. And we've seen literally every single person that's attended go online and be like, so happy I went. What a great day. Unlimited food, unlimited beer, cosplay, championships, raffles. Just we'll be live on location. An unbelievable time right there at MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be right
there. You don't have to go down the street or something and then worry about if you're going to make it in time. We're going to be right there on location battling pediatric cancer with Connor's Cure. That's April 7th. But all of NAI Mania between the show April 6th with Chaotic Wrestling and the tailgate with the Mania Club guys, it's going to be unbelievable, and everything is available on NewAgeInsiders.com. We are psyched for what's coming up in really just about a month. It's crazy. It's almost here. And we're thrilled, and we can't thank you guys enough for the support. And like Balor Club guy and to everybody else that we know is we've seen get tickets to the show already, that really does mean a lot that, you know, we're a month out or so and people are already start buying these tickets, because you know a lot of indie fans usually buy the tickets a lot closer to the actual shows. So we're going to put on a great show for you, and you're going to be really glad you came down and added it to your weekend. Doesn't fight TakeOver, doesn't fight Ring of Honor, doesn't fight the Hall of Fame, doesn't fight anything that you have to make a decision. Just add it, and it's going to be a ton of fun. NewAgeInsiders.com.
Right. And somebody is going to meet us there, right, Bill?
Yeah, shout out to Gar_gaming in the Twitch chat. He says, hi, guys, from Ireland. Wow. Looking forward to seeing you guys at the Mania Club tailgate.
Well, thanks so much, cool. Buddy. And I'm Irish, too, but in that, like, my great-grandfather, who I never met, came here from Ireland kind of way.
Yeah, right.
But in a way, we are still brothers, and we really do appreciate you coming out to see us. Can't wait to meet you. And that's the biggest thing, too, is, like, literally, like, last year, we had never met Max, and he had been, like, kind of new to the New Age Insiders thing, right?
Right.
And then we went to lunch once, and it's just like, yeah, Max is just, like, one. I don't remember not knowing him. Right. You know what I mean? And so that's really the experience of NAI Mania and the spirit of things.
We met Colin for the first time last year, too,
no,
right?
We met him in Dallas.
Dallas.
We met Colin. Yeah. We met Colin and L.A. in Dallas. They came to the first tailgate.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. That's right.
And although we sometimes wish we didn't know Colin.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
And no, but it's all love. And like, honestly, it's just like, dive in, because the biggest tagline I'm going to give for NAI Mania and the whole weekend is, if you're worried that you're going to go out there and not know anybody, that is not a fear you should have. That is alleviated immediately, because if you're like, yeah, I want to go to WrestleMania, but I'm going to go alone.
Nope.
You're really not. You're going to have an awesome time with tremendously incredible people. We can't wait to see you there.
Somebody will share a room.
Like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, Rob was just like, of course you can stay with me. Or,
right.
Or the other way around. Jedi was like, yeah, just stay with me. It's only my engagement weekend.
Yeah, right.
We don't need to be alone at all.
Yeah. Bring a tux.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to say a towel.
Bring a towel.
Bring Asuka.
Yeah.
Asuka the towel monster.
Towel monster ghost. So, there has been some news a-rumbling out of the DC Extended Universe.
Uh-oh.
In what can only be the weirdest combination of movies, where Guardians 3 can't find a director and nobody really wants to be a part of Suicide Squad 2.
Uh-huh.
It feels like it's two people.
Why are they even making this movie?
Well, there's that. But it just feels like two people that are dating the wrong person. Uh-huh. And it's like, you two should just be together.
Why are they making this movie?
Jared Leto's
out as the Joker.
Yep. Will Smith has bowed out of coming back as Deadshot for due to scheduling conflicts, which means I think everybody panned the movie
and he just
doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, why would you? Why would you want to be in it again? It flopped. He really thought that it was just like the superhero thing is hot as shit.
And I'm going to be in something hot.
We're making something different. Look at how everybody's buzzing about Harley Quinn.
And Deadpool.
And No. And
no,
it's just no.
So Idris Elba will be replacing Will Smith as Deadshot.
I can't get over Idris Elba as, because the first time I ever saw him was as jerky Charles Minor in The Office. It was the first time I ever saw Idris Elba. He did a great job as an actor, but he played just an asshole in this character, Charles Minor. And he was like the total, like, so you know as well as anybody, like Michael Scott, right? Who was just like that zany off the wall improv actor who needs yes and.
Yeah.
And Charles Minor played, no, You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, usually Michael Scott's like, yeah, we're going to have Willy Wonka Day and give out golden tickets for discounts to all our consumers, right? And the older boss was like, oh, geez, Michael, I don't know. And this guy was just like, no, Michael, that's silly and stupid. And it was just like, ah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
And so I hated him, and it's taken me a long time to get over that.
Yeah. The interesting,
I'm still not.
The interesting thing about this is... he's an active person in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
He's dead now.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but he's in a world where anybody can come back.
Yeah.
Right?
He's Heimdall.
Yeah, but he died.
Yeah, no, yeah. He like Loki died. He didn't snap die.
Yeah, he didn't. So.
Because spoiler alert, nobody snap died.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. Be a nerd and read a comic book.
Ah! So I find it to be interesting.
I'm going to do an AEW invasion angle, and Team AEW is just going to be Shane and Meat. Remember Meat? I named him Meat so people could beat Meat. He was a jobber. He could beat Meat. Get it? Go out there and beat Meat. Why is my sense of humor so goddamn silly?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm 70 years old, and I think Noam Dar saying fuck is the funniest thing in the world.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
I'm much higher up than everyone else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My ceilings are cathedral-based.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
I have flying buttresses.
Oh, really? Could you just
an architecture thing?
Yeah, I know. I was like, could you explain?
Nope.
Thank you.
These are the things in churches and they're load bearing.
Yeah. The other thing that is happening inside the DC Extended Universe is Ben Affleck is out as Batman. Yeah. Is that the right choice?
So yes and no, because here's the thing: is that Ben Affleck was. This is why it really is this, like, truly to me, very bittersweet kind of conversation. Because Ben Affleck was the best part of a franchise that never really found its way.
Yes,
right. So, like, the idea that, like, if we... Let's say there's, like, this parallel universe.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Where Heath Ledger didn't die and was in a bad movie but was incredible in it, right?
Right.
And they're like, we really want to start this whole thing over. And we're not going to have Heath Ledger be the Joker because we just don't want to associate with this franchise that never found its way.
Right.
And I know none of that happened, but the idea would be like, we're not telling you that there wasn't shining gems
moments
in the mine,
right.
But it wasn't worth the dig. You know,
yeah, right.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, I get them being like, yes, Affleck was the best part of what I would call average to above average movies. I didn't hate Batman vs. Superman,
nope.
And I didn't hate the Justice League. Could they have been much better? Absolutely. Did they have the disadvantage, right, wrong, or indifferent, of being compared to some of the greatest motion pictures ever made, which are the Avengers movies? Yep. But that's also the world. You knew what you were doing when you got the Justice League together in 2017 or whatever.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing.
Yeah,
you knew
right.
that you were riding the Avengers momentum.
Wave.
You knew it. So you're going to get compared to them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
That, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's your choice.
Such is life. You knew what you were doing. That it's just like, this formula is working so well, we're going to do it with our guys. So you're going to get compared.
Right.
That's how it goes. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, I understand why they're like, we're not telling you that Affleck sucked. We're not telling you that Affleck was the reason the movies didn't find their ground. And we're not telling you that Affleck wasn't the best part. But we want to just move on. And
right.
so we can't have anybody be part of that, or it clouds the waters of whether or not this is a sequel.
So now if he's out, but Gal Gadot is still Wonder Woman and... handsome Roman Reigns is still Aquaman.
Yeah.
Did you just fire Ben Affleck?
You fired the Batman movies.
Yeah.
So what these are to me is like, they're a pizza, right?
Right.
And I know there might not be 8 members of the Justice League in these movies, although there's more than 8 members of the Justice League. But let's just say that like the slices of the pizza are, you know, Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman movies, the Wonder Woman movies with Gal Gadot, the Superman movies with Henry Cavill, the Aquaman movies with charismatic Roman Reigns, the Cyborg movies to come, and the Batman movies with Ben Affleck particularly.
Right.
What you've done is fired the Batman pizza slice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And replace the whole slice.
Yeah.
Like, Ben Affleck was a pepperoni on the slice. You didn't replace the pepperoni. You replaced the slice. What a weird, probably not perfect analogy.
It is, but I get what you're saying. The issue that I have with the whole thing is out of everybody that you have at your DC disposal, right? Everybody was on board with Ben Affleck as Batman. Mm-hmm. And he's the best picture winner, like, producer. Right?
Yeah, right.
And so... Why didn't you just stick with it? Because you insist on sticking with your formula, right? Because you're now retroactively soft rebooting everything after Justice League to like figure everything out. Where it's like, yeah, Aquaman takes place after Justice League, but it's kind of a soft reboot as to how he becomes Aquaman, you know? And it's like, okay. And Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman comes after Batman versus Superman and is the best part leading into the Justice League, but it's an origin story. You know, I wanted to see what the best filmmaker in your unit has to offer with the most dynamic character.
Yeah.
And I want to see what that was, what was like. The other part that was absolutely bananas is, yeah, I wanted to see what Ben Affleck did with his version of Batman and Jared Leto's version of the Joker.
Yeah, me too.
And you robbed everybody of that.
Yep.
Because your priority is to get James Gunn.
They don't understand that what they could have done, I think, more than anything else, was like, look, even if it's going to be a standalone and we don't give people what they want, which might be some sort of trilogy or extension, right? Even if it's a standalone and even if it's a punctuation on both of them being in this universe at all, what they should have done was said, look at Deadpool, right? Deadpool, 5 years ago, 10 for sure, 10 years ago, nobody cared about Deadpool. The average human being walking down the street didn't know who it was. Nerds did, but they would tell you he's sort of this like fun ancillary character, right? And now Deadpool made history because just jumped in the water and go, first rated R superhero movie. We're doing it.
Yeah.
And then you go, people that like Deadpool go, oh my God, this movie's going to be great because it needs to be rated R to be as good as it can be.
Right.
And people that don't know who he is go, I'm immediately intrigued because you made a rated R superhero movie
for kids.
With Ryan Reynolds in it. I got to go. Right?
Right.
And what you really could have done if you're DC is have some guts and go, we're going to make the first rated R Batman movie.
Right.
And we're going to make it with these two guys. And it's going to be pretty weird. And it's going to be like Seven with Batman and the Joker. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's going to be dark.
And let's see what it looks like.
Right. And the intrigue of comic book nerds going, this will finally be the Joker movie we need because it's rated R, so it can be
everything we need it to be.
And casuals that already just flock to Batman movies will go, oh, a rated R Batman movie? Oh, cool. What could this be? You know what I mean? And Jared Leto looks nuts, and now we'll never get that. And look, they might still make a rated R Batman movie one day, but it'll now be years down the road because I got to establish both the characters again because they'll probably won't just like shoot off and be like, you know who they are, go. They'll probably want at least one movie each. You know what I mean? And now it'll be Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whoever, you know, John Hamm's Batman. You know what I mean? And then, look, that might be a good movie. But it's 7 years down the road, minimum.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. I wanted to see Leto, and I wanted to see Affleck. And why wouldn't you just do that? Just make that movie.
Right.
You know, make a rated R Batman movie with those two guys.
I wouldn't even say it needs to be rated R. I just wanted to see what it looked like because it feels like your biggest issue and my biggest criticism of the Warner Brothers handling of the DC universe is that it feels like you were told the major plot points and like description of these people and aren't really capturing the magic.
Yeah, I don't know who Marvel brought in to work with the film team.
It's Kevin Feige. Everything about Kevin Feige is the sole reason it all works.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, Kevin Feige is in charge of all of it.
Okay.
And so all of the movies funnel into one vision, okay. right? So it's like through the deep dive rewatch of everything that I've been doing, you notice all of these things where it's like, holy shit, man, this guy who is influential in this early movie turns out to be a Hydra agent because that gets solved in Captain America Winter Soldier. And it's like, oh my God, all of these things pay off. And it's like, it's the attention to detail of one man that is telling a television series over the course of films. And nobody at DC is doing it,
yeah.
even to them at Warner Brothers, saying that, like, in an actual press release, that they're like, yeah, our mission statement isn't to do what Marvel's doing, but instead, what we're going to do is we're just going to tell stories that we like. And it's like, so that's why you're allowing like four different versions of the Flash to be out there and two versions of the Joker and three versions of Batman and two of Superman.
And Batman has a shotgun in your movies because you're just like, fuck it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, I understand that eventually, I suppose. You know what? I don't even think this is true. No, it's not true. There are so many established comic book stories out there, you could never run out of material. And, like, look,
no.
if you wanted to just be... Because look what Marvel's doing. Like, now, don't get me wrong. Like, let's just start from the beginning, right?
Right.
To my knowledge, and I could be wrong completely, but to my knowledge, Iron Man 1 is not based off, like, an Iron Man graphic novel.
No, the closest thing from the Iron Man movies is... 2 is very similar to, I think it's Leaving Las Vegas.
Okay.
Or something.
But the idea is just like, I understand that what they didn't do with Iron Man was, like, and this is really the best example. Iron Man the movie was an original motion picture concept, right? And it almost, if you just treat it as like a standalone, if you're an alien, you drop down, you didn't understand what's going on. Iron Man's almost like a really revved up, futuristic, like, rocketeer.
Yeah, right.
It's just this genius found himself in a real tough situation and has the means and knowledge to get himself out with this incredible suit he made, right? And so with the appeal of Iron Man, which transcends, I believe, to 90% of these standalone DC movies before we even get to the Avengers, is it's just a good movie.
Yeah, right.
Iron Man's just a good movie. You don't have to be a nerd to like it. Do you have to be a nerd to like Guardians of the Galaxy? I kind of think so. But it is a fun movie on its own. But Iron Man, right? So Iron Man isn't just like based off like, you know, like Jericho Missile, the Iron Man graphic novel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just a story.
Yeah, this was his origin, and this is...
Somebody made that up. But when it came time for the Avengers, they went like, what's the quintessential Avenger story we can tell? Definitely the Infinity Gauntlet. Then let's do that, and let's do that right. And those, while not... frame for frame, because as you and I, who are super nerds, know, they've replaced like the Silver Surfer with the Hulk and stuff like that, right? Out of necessity and trademark nonsense. But like, yeah, they're being unbelievably loyal to when they say Avengers Infinity Gauntlet. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're being very loyal to what you expect if you are a nerd.
Yeah.
But along the way, they've told their own stories. Well, there's no Thor graphic novel with Natalie Portman in it.
Right. The big one to me was always Civil War.
Okay.
Right? Because there are very, very important characters in the comic book version of the Civil War that you just don't have available.
Right.
You know, Mr. Fantastic is a very, very important person in that that comic book storyline.
Silver Surfer is just important in the universe.
Silver Surfer is very important in the universe, but you don't have Mr. Fantastic at your disposal to put him in. Civil War. Also, in the comic book version of Civil War, the people that kick off the whole thing are X-Men villains.
I was just going to say, Magneto's an incredibly big part of this whole operation.
Yeah, right. And so part of the reason why Hulk gets shot off in a thing isn't because he gets trapped in a Quinjet during Age of Ultron and gets shipped off. No, Iron Man, Namor, Professor X, Mr. Fantastic and Doctor Strange all got together and go, yeah, no, we can't. There's a civil war about to happen. We got to get that asshole out of here.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, well, two-thirds of those characters you just don't have or established in this universe.
Yep.
So it's like...
Spider-Man, you barely have like what you want to use with Spider-Man.
Well, that was the thing. Spider-Man is a huge part of Civil War, and you had to introduce him in that movie.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it's like, you're doing a great job of taking the framework of these things and...
Improvising.
And DC just seems to just... They don't have a plan.
Right.
Because they want... They're trying so hard not to be Marvel that they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Right, and the way that DC's doing it, just like, because they're so wrong about like so many decisions they're making. And like, look, I've said this before. I sat in a chair for 11 hours and got a Batman tattoo all over me, and I don't regret a thing. And I love Batman, and I always will. But DC is just like, man, you know, DC is hanging on by like, they are just, because...
The comic books are doing great.
Right, the movies.
The movies.
Because Superman is dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a t-shirt everybody has, and people like the Superman logo and stuff, but, like, there's never been a great Superman movie.
Right.
Never. Not a great one.
No.
And, it, you know, they just hit a wall with, like, what can't you do? And I understand that. But with, like, with DC, what bugs me is just, you know, like we've been talking about, it's... When you try to tell these original stories that aren't great, and then you're like, all right, fine, we'll tell a comic book story. We'll tell the death of Superman. It's like, no, we got to build to that one.
Yeah, right.
Because that is a defining moment in the character to come back, you know,
from the dead.
Right, when they thought he was dead. And like, you've already just done that.
Yeah.
Like, now we just, that was a plot point in the Justice League.
Yeah, right.
To get him back. You know what I mean? Because what you've done is, I don't even think they knew it, because I don't think they're great at this big picture, is what you did was you said, if Batman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, and Cyborg get together, they are still screwed without this guy.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? They're not a team. They are like Superman and friends.
Right, and you look at the
comic. How dumb is that?
You look at the cartoon, right? And the cartoon when Justice League, like, when they made the Justice League cartoon, which is some of the best representation. The DC, like, animated stuff is fantastic.
And their books.
Is perfect. The comic books and the cartoons, they're crushing. And if they would just get off of their own high horse and just make whoever's in charge of the Arrowverse, right, where it's like...
You see that it just got canceled?
Yeah. I mean, they had to have run out of stuff because it's the Green Arrow, but they're trying to make it Batman. But it was like... The Flash, and they had Superman. He was involved in it, but it's like, just make a Batman show.
Yeah.
Just make a Batman show.
I know.
But
they did once, and it was called Batman the Animated Series, and it was incredible.
Right. And so that extension into the Justice League, where it was like, hey, like, I don't trust you, and I don't trust you, but we're both good guys, so I gotta kind of trust you.
Yeah.
But it's like, something big's happening and we got to get together.
It's also like Batman, they're doing it all wrong. Where it's like, you want to talk about Civil War. Civil War was awesome is because like we know exactly who Tony Stark is.
Yep.
And the people that agree with him. We know exactly who Captain America is and the people that agree with him. And so when they fight, it's like, oh man. When you introduce Affleck into a movie where he already has to have these deep-rooted issues with Superman and they're already fighting and he just got here. And it's like, this needs to be like the fourth movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We need to have like at least one, maybe two Batmans, at least one Superman like on its own. And then like, you know, with these people building to something and then they need to fight because like, I don't know. I just, the biggest point, which I think was completely unintentional, it's like, you're dumb at this, is like I said, Batman, Wonder Woman, the Cyborg, and the Flash all look, and Aquaman all look like toolboxes. Because it's just like, oh, we can't possibly. But we gave the impression, to me anyway, as a viewer, that Superman could have done this
by himself. By himself.
Right. So the five of us are not equal. And you know what? And even if we had bothered to introduce, like, the Green Lantern, wouldn't have mattered. That would have been the plot point of the movie, is without Clark, we're fucked.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, yeah, I understand putting over Superman huge, but what you did was you buried everybody else.
Yeah, right.
Everybody else. They were heads up their asses screwed.
Yeah.
If not for Superman.
Right. Well, and it's the presentation, because Superman can come in at the end and, like, save the day as Superman does and make it feel good because everything, like, everything's coming crashing down and it's hurting inside, and then Superman comes in, but they're putting up a big fight. They just need that one extra gun, right? But no, the plot point, the plot of the Justice League was like, yeah, this bad thing's going to happen. Man, we got to figure out a way to get Superman back.
Yeah, or we're just toast.
Or we're toast.
Yeah, we're done.
We're no good without him.
Because, and then when Superman finally does like snap out of it, it's like, oh, I got to go save the day. All he does is show up and just beat Steppenwolf to death. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's just like, oh, this is easy. You know what I mean? What's been the problem? If I was here the whole time, we wouldn't have a movie.
Yeah, right.
I just kicked the shit out of that guy. Yeah. What has been your issue? You know what I mean? Like, this was easy. You're a robot.
You know what I mean?
Like, what? This is easy. We are going to keep the conversation and the fun going over to patreon.com/New Age Insiders. If you're having fun now, join us. And if you subscribe to twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV by the end of this broadcast, let us know and we will send you a live stream link so you can join us, because we're live for the Patreon edition and you can chime in and be part of the fun and be part of the show as well. Again, that's patreon.com/New Age Insiders or twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV, and we'll send you those links and get you guys involved.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't been tuning in lately for some reason, we've talked to Dominic Dijakovic. We have talked to Kofi Kingston. We have talked to half of the NXT Tag Team Champion, Warbeard Hansen. Fun interviews, get to know these guys on a bigger level. Some of them are exploding. A lot of them are just, they're all doing amazing things. You can get to know these guys on a really cool personal level. That's all found on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Noble, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all those podcast apps where you can find, we're talking to some of the biggest stars in WWE and NXT as we build to the biggest weekend of the year, which is NAI Mania, NewAgeInsiders.com, Chaos for a Cause with Chaotic Wrestling featuring Tommy Dreamer, Saturday, April 6th, Sunday, April 7th, MetLife Stadium, the Mania Club tailgate party where you can have all the beer you can drink, all the food you can eat, all the fun you can have, all the tickets, all the, you know, you can donate to Connor's Cure, everything, NewAgeInsiders.com. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Strugger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during these shows. And please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Again, iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Noble, Spotify, Google Play, all your podcast apps. NewAgeInsiders.com has everything you need. As we jump over to patreon.com/New Age Insiders, we thank you so much for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.